from KQED.
From KQED Public Radio, this is Forum. I'm Scott Schaefer, in today for Dave Iverson. In this hour of Forum, the cost of America's Cup. San Francisco is planning to host the world's premier sailing event next year, but a recent report raises new questions about the city's financial obligation and whether event planners will meet their fundraising commitment. Meanwhile, a weekly newspaper has uncovered an email from the city's port director expressing deep concerns about the arrangement. As a critical vote to seal the deal approaches, we'll examine the project's potential costs and benefits. We'll get started with Forum right after this. Good morning and welcome to Forum. I'm Scott Schaefer, in today for Dave Iverson. And in this hour, a closer look at the America's Cup, set to take place in San Francisco Bay next year. It's getting to be crunch time for San Francisco. A key vote to finalize the city's development deal with event organizers is scheduled probably for the end of this month. But fresh questions and doubts are being voiced about the event, what it will cost the city, its impact on the port, and whether event organizers are getting a sweetheart deal. With that vote 2 weeks away, we're going to take a closer look at the potential costs and benefits of hosting the America's Cup next year. Joining me here in the studio is Mike Martin. He's the America's Cup Project Director for the City and County of San Francisco. Mike Martin, good to have you here with us.
Good morning. Good to be here.
Also with us in the studio, Mark Buell, Chair of America's Cup Organizing Committee. Mark, good to have you as well.
Thanks, Scott.
Also here, Aaron Peskin. He's Chair of the San Francisco Democratic Party, former President of the Board of Supervisors. Good to see you, too.
Good morning, Scott.
And joining us by phone, Joe Eskenazi, who's a staff writer with the San Francisco Weekly. He wrote the cover story on America's Cup that is in this week's issue. Let me begin with you, Mike Martin. This is a complicated deal, an arrangement between the city and the event organizers. If you would, just give us the highlights of what the key components of this agreement are.
Be happy to. So it is a fairly complex agreement, but it comes down to a pretty simple approach, which is that in past America's Cups, oftentimes the host city would actually pay a host fee for the right to bring the events to their city and bring that economic development and that, you know, sort of excitement of this one-of-a-kind sailing event. In this instance, the city made a very, I think, thoughtful and creative approach to say we didn't necessarily have the money to make a host city fee approach like they had in past years. So instead, it's basically a two-pronged approach. The first part of it would be a real estate transaction, as you described, where basically the waterfront improvements needed to host the event, to host the sailing races and the public venues along the waterfront, would be the subject of a development deal under which the event authority who puts in the money would get that money reimbursed through development rights, event-related sources, and other development-related financing sources. On top of that, as part of the city's bid, there was an agreement with the America's Cup Organizing Committee for a fundraising program of up to $32 million to help defray the city's costs of actually putting on the events.
And that fundraising obligation, Mark Buell, has become the source of some questions that have come up. I've got in my hand here a report from the city controller, Ben Rosenfield, from February 6th, kind of evaluating. This is a memo he sent to David Chu, president of the Board of Supervisors. And it examines the amount of money that the committee has raised because there's a concern that if the committee doesn't raise the money, the city could be on the hook for, what, tens of millions of dollars. What is your assessment of how the fundraising for this event is going vis-a-vis the targets and the obligations that the committee has with the city?
Great question. First of all, let me tell you, I'm thrilled to say that we met our first-year obligation of $12 million raised. And let me read the language of what the agreement says because I think it sets the proper stage. The committee, which is ours, the ACOC, will endeavor to raise up to $32 million over a three-year period from private sources to reimburse the city for a portion of the city's costs. It goes on to say that the committee's fundraising targets for the three-year period are $12 million for the year one, $10 million for year two, and $10 million for year three. The committee will endeavor to meet the fundraising targets of $12 million for year one, no later than 7 working days after the completion of the environmental review. We have signed pledges or cash in the bank in excess of $12 million. We also know from the city that the actual costs in year one are projected. They probably expended about $3.5 million now, and by June 30th, they expect that to be around $9 million. We have signed pledges to provide $9 million to the city in a timely fashion. So we're very excited about the fact that the community is responding well to this.
And I believe $8 million of that is due to the city in this fiscal year, which ends, what, at the end of July?
Actually, $9 million is what we think will be due, and we have pledges of 12.5 actually now. We just picked up another $500,000.
So what's the difference then between a pledge and money in the bank?
In fundraising, particularly in the philanthropic community, Many philanthropies give over multiple years if the program goes over multiple years. And since we'll be out to really 2014 on this, we've been able to raise more money by getting annual pledges of whether it's $100,000 a year for 3 years or $500,000 a year for 3 years in one case. Those pledges will be coming as they're delineated on the commitment. In addition, the original agreement we signed with the city and with the event authority gave the organizing committee rights to local corporations and gave the event authority rights to national and international corporations. It became clear that it was not going to be productive to have two entities out raising money for the America's Cup in the corporate world. It would be confusing. So we basically sold the local rights to the event authority in exchange for a dollar amount. So that represents 8 of the 12.5 that we're raising this year.
That report from the controller that I alluded to a moment ago, seems to say that, you know, they're going to have to step up their fundraising pace if they're going to meet these obligations. Do you disagree with that?
I do. We met the $12 million the first year, $10 million the second year, once we get past these approvals. Imagine raising money without the final approvals. So once these final approvals are in place, then we get much better traction. And frankly, Larry Ellison is spending millions of dollars to build this brand of catamaran racing, the fastest boats, the best technology, the best sailors. And so as that brand is built, we're getting a better response in the marketplace as well. So both those things are going to make it easier this year than it was last year.
Let me bring Aaron Peskin in. You've been a critic of this, and I think in particular some of the real estate, the development aspects of this arrangement with the city. Highlight your one or two biggest concerns.
Well, Scott, many people say this is a development deal masquerading as a boat race. I mean, I think everybody is excited about the America's Cup coming here. The question is, how much is it going to cost the city and county of San Francisco? Is it going to jeopardize the port's balance sheet? And there are some fundamental concerns about how the deal has changed since the board originally approved it in December of 2010.
And that was unanimous.
That was a unanimous vote. All 11 members of the board endorsed a deal, and that deal changed remarkably 2 weeks later.
What changed?
Well, Mr. Buell from the America's Cup Organizing Committee, our then Mayor Newsom, and the event authority, Richard Wirth, signed an agreement dated December 14th. On December 31st, Mr. Newsom signed a different deal that implicated many more piers. The original deal was three piers and one piece of land that the event authority would get for the next two-thirds of a century. And later on, they added piers 19, 19 and a half, 23, and 29. They changed the financial terms of the deal in a way that disadvantages the port, including getting rid of 1% on future condo sales, participation rent on the long-term leases of piers. All of these things really need to be changed and be put back in the deal.
So you want it, when you say change, you mean go back to the way it was, or?
Well, as far as I'm concerned, there's actually only one deal that's been approved, and that was the deal that was approved by the board on December 14th. After that, Mr. Ellison's negotiators threatened to leave if they didn't get a better deal. Mr. Newsom, who was on his way to Sacramento, was fearful after having lost the 49ers and entered into a deal that's never been approved by the board that is now the subject of the board's hearings. And so this is really now in the hands of the people's body, the Board of Supervisors. Right. They met this last Wednesday, and they're very concerned.
All right. Mark Buell, quick comment from you, then I want to bring Joe Eskenazi.
I think there's an important distinction here, and that is that the event authority, Richard Wirth, did not sign the December 14th document. The only time they signed was the final document. And so there was the mayor's position and our position that matched the original board approvals, and then further negotiations went on. So I think it's fair to say for the event authority that they didn't agree with the original approvals.
Joe Eskenazi from the SF Weekly. Let me bring you in here for a moment. You wrote the cover story in this week's newspaper, and one of the things that you uncovered was an email from Port Director Monique Moyer expressing some grave concern, I think it's fair to say, about this event. Could you summarize what her concerns were?
Well, in order, as I describe it in the story, the America's Cup and the long-planned cruise terminal on Pier 27 are kind of bundled together, and this has been presented as a great expedient thing. They have this wonderful northern waterfront to base the America's Cup, and eventually it will become a cruise ship terminal. However, in accelerating the construction of the cruise ship terminal, you run into some costs, and because the projects are tied together, the cruise ship terminal really has to move forward. Otherwise, you're pulling the rug out from under the America's Cup. And specifically, Ms. Moyer was lamenting about some $40 million in environmental mitigations that the port must undergo in the next 5 to 11 years as a result of building the cruise ship terminal. And as of now, they don't know where the money's coming from. And specifically, I believe the term she uses is, frankly, the cruise terminal isn't worth the risk. Sorry to be the Debbie Downer on this, but I spent a sleepless night and I came to the conclusion I can't be the one who does this to the port.
And from that email, she says, I just don't see how we can commit the port to financial instability by committing to these obligations. Michael Martin, what is the city's response? I don't know if the city certainly responded to her in some way, either probably not through email, but what is the city's response to her concerns?
I think the response is that was an email that was taken at a point in time and in a context of a dialogue with the regulator. And I think that dialogue has advanced. And Mr. Eskenazi's story, I think, described well how that moved forward, where we worked with BCDC staff to understand what it is they were asking for and how we can deliver that in a way that's appropriate for the project. I will say we've had these conversations really across the board with regulators on this project because it's so unusual. It's on such a compressed time frame. Regulators will tell us what they think. We come back with what we think is appropriate, and we come to an appropriate solution. And so while certainly the language of the email makes it sound like there was some line drawn in the sand, that's really not the case.
So are you saying she no longer really has those concerns?
I think we've been addressing them and we'll continue to address them, both in terms of the BCDC dialogue, but also the document that's before the Board of Supervisors. I want to be clear from the earlier conversation, this is a fully negotiated document that's taken sort of the bones of the documents from December of 2010 and really created a better transaction that really addresses a lot of the concerns that have been raised.
Quick comment from you, Joe Eskenazi. Did you hear back or did you try to get a response from the port director on all this?
I was unsuccessful in that. I know that they have been given more time. That is significant. We mentioned that in the story. But, you know, the methods of financing these mitigations are still uncertain. And the methods that they put forward are, even in the letter that Monique has here, they're described as speculative. Speculative is a very polite way of putting it.
I want to bring in David Chu. He is president of the San Francisco Board of Supervisors and the supervisor for District 3, where all of this port property we're talking about resides within. David Chu, good to have you with us this morning.
Thank you, gentlemen.
Now, you were one of the 11 votes for this agreement back last year. Has anything changed in your mind? How concerned are you now about issues around financing and development? In ways that you weren't when this was originally before the board.
Well, I certainly have been a strong supporter of the America's Cup. That being said, there have been a number of significant and, frankly, serious changes that have happened over the past year plus. The cost to the city of the America's Cup have increased pretty dramatically, not just the cost of hosting the event, but the cost to actually making the infrastructure changes to the pier that this whole deal is hinged upon that then trigger expanded real estate rights for Larry Ellison. And those, frankly, create a lot of concern for us as we move forward with this. And as was mentioned earlier, the Board of Supervisors did approve a deal in the middle of December that was then changed by outgoing Mayor Newsom. And we all certainly understand the changes he made, but the fact of the matter remains that they were terms that were never approved by the Board. And as we're looking at this now, in 2012, the situation looks quite different from how we were looking at things at the end of 2010.
Do you agree with what Aaron Peskin said a moment ago, that this is basically a development deal masquerading as a boat race?
Well, obviously there is a boat race, and it's an exciting boat race, and it's one that I'd like to see here, but there is a significant real estate deal that we have to evaluate in the best interest of San Francisco. And it is our job at the Board of Supervisors to do the appropriate due diligence to make sure that our short-term and long-term financial interests are being taken care of, that we're not creating additional budget deficits because of the America's Cup, and that we're not giving away valuable real estate that are important city assets that we hold in trust for the people of San Francisco.
So how much of your concern is that the fundraising committee won't do its job and that the city will be left on the hook for some of these short-term costs versus the longer-term questions about whether you're giving away the store by having Larry Ellison get the rights, free rent for 66 years and some of the other elements of this agreement?
Well, first, I believe that Mark Buell and the America's Cup Organizing Committee has been doing everything they can to fundraise. But from, I think, the perspective of many supervisors, including myself, it hasn't been where we had hoped it to be for reasons that are difficult. We can't predict how fundraising is going to go, but the fact of the matter is it's not where we had wanted to be. And if it continues to not be where it needs it to be, we could see ourselves having to pay out of other city general fund resources that should be going to pay for libraries and parks and cops and firefighters. And that is troubling and something I think we need to protect ourselves from. And then in addition to that, we need to make sure that our city's assets are used wisely. And this is a deal where we are paying for Larry Ellison to improve a port that we may, a set of piers that we may not have invested in initially. We were initially going to be investing $55 million into piers that now are costing us $110 million to invest. And in return for giving Larry Ellison the opportunity to pour money into piers that we may not have invested in, we are then giving him other real estate rights that are worth quite a bit to the city. So there are many aspects to this that I think need some work. It is my hope over the next week that the city and the America's Cup Event Authority can work our way through these issues to reach a better place.
Mark Buell, you're sort of shaking your head a little bit as you're listening to David Chu. What are the politics of all this?
Well, Supervisor Chu knows my concern about this. The agreement said that we would have in place $12 million in commitments by a certain date. We have those commitments. The question, and even the city controller said at Wednesday's hearings that we do have those commitments in place. What the question becomes, are they guarantees? Well, in the philanthropic community, we've raised money from 21 different people on our committee. We haven't even gone outside the committee yet, and that represents $4.5 million. I'm not going to go to them and say the Board of Supervisors doesn't think your signed commitment is good enough. I think that's an insult to the philanthropic community. And we have a commitment signed by the Event Authority on the sale of the local rights to them. We will meet the commitments. We're where we wanted to be, and we're very excited about it. And in raising money, it's really important that people see that we're meeting those commitments.
You know, some people who are listening to this might think, you know, Larry Ellison is, what, the number six wealthiest person in the world, number five, okay? He's just moved up. You know, $12 million, it's like pocket change for him. Has he contributed? How much has he contributed to this?
Well, let me say that you can only go to Pier 80 and see the improvements he's made in terms of the commitment he's made to San Francisco in making this race a success. So he has spent millions of dollars. Now, that isn't to say that I haven't suggested he might want to make a contribution to our 501c3, and I haven't heard a response to that yet.
Why? What does that tell you?
I think he's spending millions of dollars on the race, and I think he wants to see a desire on the part of San Francisco to have the race here.
Joe Eskenazi, actually, David Chu, I know we're going to let you go, is this a deal that could unravel still, do you think?
Well, we'll see what happens. I think we have made, from the Board of Supervisors' perspective, our concerns clear. The budget analyst report that came out, I think, laid a very good roadmap of where we need to go. And from what I can tell, I think these are very achievable changes that we can make to get back to closer to what we had voted on at the board in the middle of December. I think that would allow us to move this forward and hopefully have a deal that that all parties can feel good about.
One last question. You are up for re-election, I believe, in November. What are you hearing from your constituents about this?
I'm hearing probably the mix of concerns and interests that I've expressed myself. We would like to see the America's Cup here, but our support for this is not unconditional. It has to be right for the city. And we want to make sure that both in the short term and the long term, our finances are being taken care of. And that is what I was elected to do as the district supervisor and as the president of the board, to make sure that in the short term and the long term, that San Francisco is being protected at the same time that we host a magnificent international event for the world.
All right. David Chu, president of the San Francisco Board of Supervisors, thanks for joining us this morning. Appreciate it. Joe Eskenazi, back to you. In your reporting, what is your sense of why the supervisor, now it's a new Board of Supervisors, but one that in many ways is more moderate than the one that approved this originally by a unanimous vote, what's giving them pause to the extent that they, in fact, are having second thoughts?
Well, it's the things that Mr. Peskin outlined beforehand. The things that changed between December 14th and December 31st are the major concerns that I keep hearing being brought up. There are concerns about Pier 29. There are concerns about the fact that once the city hands over the rent-free leases, they don't have a cut of money coming in as you usually do in a port lease. For example, you know, here at the airport or at the ferry building, a percentage of rent goes back to the port. And also, there's no money coming back from sales of condos that may be built on Seawall Lot 330. Those are, and as I mentioned in the story, those are the things that people will argue over. Those are the kinds of things that come in and out. The larger argument is that if you look at Piers 3032, they are decrepit, they are dilapidated, they are eventually going to fall into the ocean. But before they do so, the port anticipates $53 million of revenue will be wrung out of them. The port is foregoing $53 million of revenue to pay the event authority $92 million to then give them those piers for generations and for free. So that's an interesting equation, and right, what the Board of Supervisors has to do is balance this equation.
Yeah, we're getting to the end of this half hour. We're going to continue, but Mike Martin, a response from you. Has the city, by the way, looked at other places, other venues, like Valencia, Spain, for example, to see, you know, what the balance sheet? Has it been a good deal for other places that have hosted this event?
Before we get into that, I just want to respond to something that was just said. I mean, I think, you know, to characterize the port as wringing $53 million out of Pier 3032 and as part of this deal, that value doesn't happen without upgrades to the piers. I mean, right now they're yellow tagged. If this investment doesn't happen, as Mr. Eskenazi's story notes, the piers would eventually, you know, deteriorate and have to be removed. And there's no funding source for that removal, which is tens of millions of dollars. So I think there's a bit of a false choice there. In terms of other countries, I really want to emphasize sort of the uniqueness of this bid, because other countries, not only would they pay host fees, but they'd actually put in sort of privately funded infrastructure along their piers to create a new marina. Here, we're doing this on a different approach, a public-private partnership that I think is, frankly, more innovative, brings private dollars private dollars at risk, frankly. And I really think that, you know, this approach really allows us to really enjoy the economic benefits of the events.
All right. We're going to continue for the rest of this hour talking about the America's Cup plan for San Francisco in 2013. Give us a call if you'd like to join us. It's 866-733-6786. Again, that number, 866-733-6786. You can also email your comments. It's forum@kqed.org, or leave a comment on our Facebook page. It's facebook.com/kqedforum. I'm Scott Schaefer, here today for Dave Iverson, and we hope you'll stay with us. And welcome back to Forum. Scott Schaefer here today for Dave Iverson. In this hour, we are talking about the 2013 America's Cup, which, if all goes as planned, will be held in San Francisco Bay. And we're talking about the finances of that, the details of that, the Board of Supervisors. Probably later this month, the end of the month, we'll put a final approval make changes to the agreement or perhaps reject it. Joining us to talk about it, Mark Buell is chair of the America's Cup Organizing Committee. Also here, Michael Martin, who is the America's Cup Project Director for the Office of Economic and Workforce Development for the City and County of San Francisco. Aaron Peskin, former president of the San Francisco Board of Supervisors, a critic of the current agreement. And Joe Eskenazi, staff writer for SF Weekly. He wrote the cover story in this week's newspaper about the America's Cup. If you want to join us, it's 866-733-6786. Again, 866-733-6786. And let's go to the phones. Looks like Pete is on the line in San Francisco. Welcome.
How you doing?
Good.
So I read the Business Times that this kind of deal is pretty standard for the port. I believe the port director even said that the ferry building and PAC or AT&T Park were done in the same way. And those really rejuvenated two areas of San Francisco and are now, you know, two of the most important buildings in the entire city. So what's different? What's the big deal?
Aaron Peskin, let me, the port, the piers along the waterfront for decades, we've been talking about a cruise ship terminal. It's never happened. A lot of those piers are in disrepair. What about the caller's point that, hey, this could have the same kind of effect on the waterfront that the ballpark and other the ferry building, other things that we've done that have been so successful?
So I think what's important to understand relative to the port's finances, the port does not get any tax money. All of the money that they live off of is money off of rents of piers. Some piers are in good shape. Some piers are not in good shape. The normal standard port agreements say this: if the ferry building is sold, if the ferry building is refinanced, the port shares in some of that revenue. And that's what keeps the port healthy. And in this particular transaction, the port would not get any of that revenue sharing. And so for the long term, the kind of expression that you saw from the port director, they are in potential financial jeopardy. And so we should actually be thinking about the piers that are in bad shape and the piers that are in good shape. If the port's not able to put the capital in over time that it gets from rents and participation in rents, we're going to have a port that's in deep trouble.
Mike Martin, what's your response to that? Is the city giving away too much to Larry Ellison in this?
I don't believe so. I mean, I think the structure that we're talking about is something that you see across the port. I think the specifics of how people get reimbursed and who's bearing the risks, that's what changes from deal to deal. We've got a partner here in the America's Cup Event Authority that's putting in tens of millions of dollars before they have an entitlement to actually develop something there and actually get money out of the piers. So, you know, I think a lot of that is in terms of the give and take of the negotiation process. The document we have today has come a long way from the documents from December, and I think we've done a lot to address the port's potential liability.
Could the city negotiate still a better deal? Could there be a larger percentage? Could the city get a percentage of the revenue that isn't now currently going to be coming to it?
Well, I mean, all that has to be by mutual agreement. We have partners in this deal in the America's Cup Event Authority. I think we've heard clearly from the board that they have concerns. We're going to try to address those at next week's committee hearing, hopefully. I'm optimistic that there's a way forward that really addresses all of the concerns that have been raised. It may not be the specific things that people are talking about now, but I think we can go a long way to show why this is a good deal for the city and the port.
And Mark Buell, to what extent does Larry Ellison and the America's Cup Organizing Committee feel like, hey, we negotiated a deal, we're not going back to the table? Or do you feel that it's still an open question here?
Oh, I think it's still an open question. I think it is a give and take. And frankly, I think the board raises some genuine concerns. They have the public trust in their domain. But I think that Mike Martin's comments are right on track. This is not an unusual deal, and it's subject to negotiation. There's going to be a point where the Ellison people are going to say this isn't worth it. And I think the board needs to understand that. And I think the Ellison people have to understand that the board has some legitimate concerns. So it is a dynamic situation.
Scott. I mean, there is this kind of underlying theme which Mr. Buell is expressing, which is if the city and county of San Francisco doesn't give Mr. Ellison everything he wants, he's going to take his marbles and go somewhere else. And that's always been the backdrop of this. And it's being, I think, done in a way that the Board of Supervisors and previously Mayor Newsom are being held hostage. And at some point, somebody's got to put their foot down and say, no, you're going to pay the 1% on condominium sales the way everybody else has done. You're going to pay participation rent the way everybody else has done. You're not going to have Pier 29 in the deal, which was never in the original deal. These are things that are going to ensure the long-term health of the port.
Does the city have the wherewithal to negotiate with somebody like a Larry Ellison? I mean, he didn't get to be the fifth richest person in the world by being a pushover.
Well, let me respond to that. I was in the negotiations with Ellison and the city, and I've said this publicly many times. For those people who grouse about paying taxes and not getting good public service, the team that was put together for the city did an extraordinary job. And those negotiations went right up to the last hour before San Francisco was awarded this bid. Now,
but there was – Mayor Newsom did have a lot of incentive to get that done before he left office.
There's no question about it. But I'm talking about the rank-and-file staff that were in there, the city attorney's office, the port staff, the mayor's office of workforce and economic development. I was very, very impressed. And now I come from this as a private citizen, a volunteer, I might add. But I honestly believe that the city had a terrific team negotiating. So to the question of is the city up to negotiating with Ellison? Absolutely. And I'm sure Mr. Peskin will make sure that that team stays on target.
All right. Let's go back to the phones now. Up to Sacramento, Craig is on the line. Good morning.
Good morning. Thanks for taking my call. I was very interested in your question in the first half hour about how much Ellison had contributed to this project and to the answer. And so I wonder if the only thing that Ellison has provided is funding for infrastructure improvements, who benefits most from those infrastructure improvements? And who benefits most from having the America's Cup held here? And I suspect the answer is Larry Ellison.
Well, let me ask Mike Martin that question.
I'd be happy to answer. I mean, I think, you know, a lot of this conversation focuses in on different elements of this deal, and I certainly think that's worthwhile so that we make sure that the city's interests are protected. But we have to look at the backdrop of bringing basically the third largest international sporting event to San Francisco Bay. And I may be sort of biased on this, but I think the star of this show is going to be San Francisco Bay. Tourists are going to want to come here. They're going to want to spend their dollars in the San Francisco neighborhoods. I think that's a big benefit that sort of gets lost in the wash a little bit. I'm not saying it's going to overcome concerns about the port's ongoing financial health or the legacy of this event on the waterfront. But I think we've got to take into account that there's a big benefit that's frankly being built by building this new vision of America's Cup racing, close to shore racing where people can watch from shore for the first time ever. And I think there's no better place for it than San Francisco Bay.
Joe Eskenazi, in your reporting, are you hearing from people that there's a sense that maybe the benefits and the costs are not distributed in a way that they should be?
A lot of people have concerns. I mean, the major concern, and this is the one that Mike talked about and I've talked about, is that the lion's share of the anticipated costs are going to Piers 3032. And Mike is right, yes, which are, you know, will after that expected revenue comes, you will lose your asset. But that's a lot of money to pay for something that then will be turned over for free rent to Larry Ellison's people for up to 91 years. So that's an odd place to do the investment. I mean, the whole notion is we are financing upgrades to the port. But the question again is who really is going to benefit from those, and why are you spending it in that particular place?
Mike Martin,
a number of people have asked.
Mike, you're shaking your head.
Well, I mean, again, I just come back to that particular place where they're spending this money. I mean, it's a value in terms of creating a useful location on our waterfront. In addition, two piers that sort of don't get talked about as much that may be improved by this are piers 26 and 28, which are historic structures, which currently don't have any current financing plan for keeping them from falling into the bay themselves. So, I mean, I think all of this creates a benefit to the port and the waterfront that's sort of beyond the sort of narrow look at what is Mr. Ellison getting, what is he not getting. And again, I want to turn back to, I think there's a lot of other legacies, not only in terms of bricks and mortar on the waterfront, like the cruise terminal, that we're getting out of bringing this event to San Francisco.
Mark Buell, when this was announced with great fanfare, Larry Ellison predicted that there would be 17 teams that would be sailing. Right now, I think we have three that have signed up. Is there a lack of enthusiasm, a lack of interest in this event?
Well, I don't think there's a lack of enthusiasm, and I don't think there'll only be three teams. They really have until June, and people don't want to put hard cash where it isn't productively used. And so,
what do you mean by that?
If there's a fee to pay to play, and they'll wait till the last moment to pay that fee because they're raising money to build their boats. But right now, I think that you'll see six boats at a minimum, and hopefully eight. And that's a pretty good race. And I want you to visualize this. These boats are 72 feet long and 130-foot mast. They will go 1.6 times the speed of wind downwind. With a 30-knot wind, you have the potential to see basically 13-story buildings going 50 miles an hour toward a common buoy. It's going to be pretty damn exciting.
Well, let me ask you about that disparity, though, because Ellison did predict 17. You're saying 6 to
right.
8.
Well, listen.
So was this oversold?
I think that there was absolutely no way of knowing what the market would be for this. And Ellison has spent, I would guess, upwards of $100 million to try and brand this catamaran racing. He's doing this entire World Series around the world. He has a freighter with all these boats, and there's nine of them going all over the world to build this brand. So I think he has a lot at risk in this business, separate and apart from San Francisco. And I might add that Valencia, Spain, it's reported that the King of Spain made $500 million available to get this race there. And on top of that, they built a pharmaceutical plant for Bertarelli, who was the defending champion, in order to bring it there. Because it was, as we know, Switzerland was not a great sailing nation. So when they won the cup, they picked Valencia as their venue. Now, the world economy has changed, and we recognized that when we were doing the bidding. So I just—
We don't have a king here, though, but—
No.
Willie Brown is kind of close.
Willie, that's close.
He can pay the $12 million.
All right, let's go back to the phones now. Zach is on the line in San Francisco. Welcome. Zach, are you with us?
Yeah, I am. I'm a native San Franciscan. I've been racing sailboats my entire life, and I've been fortunate enough to be fairly successful. And a few comments on this. First of all, Aaron Peskin, I've seen you in the scene for many years, and I think it's time to stop talking that this is a business deal masquerading as a boat race. This is the pinnacle of yachting coming to San Francisco Bay. This is a stimulus package that we could not even dream of. And we really need to think about the big picture here. This isn't just 2013. Our goal is for Larry to keep winning. The more he wins, the more it benefits the city. We need to base a deal that is contingent upon him winning. The deal gets sweeter for each year that he wins it. And for Mark and Mike, you guys are doing a great job. This is a startup.
Okay. Aaron Peskin, let me just bring this. It seems like a lot of cities would fall over themselves to get something like this. And San Francisco does have a reputation for, you know, being sometimes difficult on developers, sometimes with very good reason. But, you know, are we looking a gift horse in the mouth here? Are we making it too difficult when we should be, you know, celebrating what is really a great achievement to have this event coming here?
I think the caller actually makes a very good point, which is let's share the risk. And indeed, if this event is here for 2016 and 2019, there's a lot more benefit to the city. If it turns out to be that we have spent hundreds of millions of dollars for a 45-day race over 2 years and it never comes back, that will have turned out to be a lot of risk for the city and county of San Francisco, as you heard from the port, as set forth in Joe Eskenazi's article. So I think if you want to renegotiate this thing to have more incentives and add Pier 26 and Pier 28 if and when the Oracle team wins, the caller has a good idea.
All right, Zach, thanks for the call. Let's read some email here. Brennan writes, what kind of project does Aaron Peskin support in San Francisco? He's against Park Merced, Treasure Island, and the America's Cup. Does he believe in change for San Francisco?
I believe, actually, not dissimilarly to what the president of the board said, that in each and every one of these deals, we have to make sure that San Francisco and its residents get the best deal possible. And when I was on the board for 8 years, I presided over many development deals, a lot of rezoning, and in each and every case did my best to make sure that San Francisco and its taxpayers got as much as they could from each and every one of those deals.
Here's another email from Jeffrey in Sausalito who writes, get her done. I understand proceeding with caution, but after politics caused us to lose the USS Iowa, I think he means Missouri, I don't think I could stomach losing the America's Cup. Richard writes, this has the signs of a Willie Brown deal, a big giveaway of city property rights to a friend of the mayor with very little tangible benefit to the city. There's no good reasons to connect pier development to the privilege of holding a billionaire's boat race. Athens funded the Olympics at a great cost. What state is Athens in today? Let's go back to the phones. Looks like Vedika is on the line. Vedika, rather, is on the line in San Francisco. Welcome.
Hello. Yeah, I just wanted to say I live two blocks away from the key piers that are going to serve as the America's Cup Village. And my husband and I have lived in that same neighborhood, the North Waterfront, for about 10 years now, and we could not be more concerned. We think the race is a great idea. We think having a lot of activity and a boost to the economy is a great idea. But the devil is in the details, and we need all the city officials, the port director, our local Democratic Party chair, our president of the Board of Supervisors, to be paying close attention so that when the America's Cup is done, we are not left with some legacy that we cannot protect our waterfront with.
What's your concern? Like, what's your worst nightmare?
My worst nightmare is that essentially we sell the waterfront to Larry Ellison, that we have somebody who has a lot of resources, much more than many of us combined, to be able to develop and put things on these precious piers and this precious waterfront that are simply incompatible with what it is,
Aaron,
and what it's meant to be.
Yeah, excuse me for interrupting you. Aaron Peskin, you know, irrespective of what piers and property Larry Ellison gets, I mean, ultimately, before he can develop it, he's going to have to go through the planning process, isn't he?
Well, in the case of Seawall Lot 330, that project's already been approved. So it's good to go for a condominium development. It has all of its entitlements.
And that's part of the deal already.
That's part of the deal already. The EIR that was done by the city over the last year actually assumes certain types of development. So there are less hurdles that he'll have to go through had that EIR not analyzed those things. That could include a shopping mall at Pier 29, retail use, which has been the subject of some controversy, as you'll recall, in the Mills proposal that Willie Brown tried to push through a number of years ago. It is true, any future project on the long-term leases will have to be evaluated and go through the planning process, and people have an ability to comment on them.
You know, I recall both the first time when it was unsuccessful and the second time when it got built, AT&T Park, Pac Bell Park, there was a lot of concern about putting a ballpark in downtown San Francisco. There were people who said it would be a traffic nightmare. And I think now everyone agrees that is a huge success. Now, granted, there's been a lot of mass transit put in, you know, between the first time it was on the ballot and the second time. But, you know, does San Francisco sometimes are we too tough on these projects? I mean, it's good to ask all these questions and to get the best deal possible. But in the end, you know, a lot of these things have turned out to be really good for the city.
I think AT&T Park is a perfect example of where San Francisco did it right. Why? What did the voters say no to? They didn't want to pay the bill. And in the end, the Giants paid the bill. And we ended up with a lovely facility that the taxpayers weren't soaked for. And so I think that's what we're worried about in this deal. We want to make sure the America's Cup comes, and we want to make sure that for the next two-thirds of a century, our grandkids are not paying the bill.
All right, 866-733-6786, the number to call. Let's go to Nate in Berkeley. Welcome.
Hi. My question is, why are we talking about sweetening the deal at all? I mean, Larry wants it. Larry can afford it. Why should the city put anything in?
Well, Mark Buell, what's your response to that?
Well, under the original economic analysis that was done about bringing the race here, the Bay Area Council predicted a boost to the economy of $1.4 billion and 8,000 jobs. Whether or not those numbers are real remains to be seen. I think probably something less, but not substantially less. And I think that's enormous. But a caller earlier said this is international prestige. This is a terrific event for the Bay Area, and there is a very strong likelihood that Larry Ellison will win the race and it will stay here. So the investment being made now will continue to reap rewards in future years.
But it does sound like you would like him to pony up some money that he hasn't yet committed to.
Well, no, I don't want to mischaracterize that. I'm telling you that he is spending, I think he's already spent in excess of $100 million to brand this kind of sailboat racing. That's a big risk on his part. Now, granted, the fifth richest guy in the world is an easy target for all of this. But really, this is a business proposition, and he wants to do it right, and the city wants to do it right. So I think we go back to Aaron's concerns and Mike's concerns. This needs to be negotiated to make sure everybody's getting a fair shake.
All right, another email here from Rick, who writes, I fully expect the San Francisco Board of Supes to screw up the America's Cup. They screw up almost everything that they get their hands on. This is a world-class event like the Olympics, and we should be encouraged. It should be encouraged in any way possible. The board to stop acting like Zimbabwe or Venezuela, stop being such a bunch of zealots. Aaron Peskin, the city does have that reputation of being anti-business. And yet, you know, and I'm digressing a bit here, but, you know, San Francisco also has one of the lowest unemployment rates in the state. I mean, the city's doing something right when it comes to business as well.
We have a very robust budget. It has been balanced year in and year out. Our bond rating is superlative. We have higher employment than the surrounding region. So I'd respectfully say to the caller that his board of supervisors and his mayor have done quite well over many years.
Mike Martin, we have had a change of mayor since this was originally announced. Gavin Newsom is gone. Ed Lee is here. Do you see a change of attitude in any way from between these two mayors about this event?
About the America's Cup?
Yeah.
Not at all. In fact, Mayor Lee, when he first took office, I think made the America's Cup one of his top priorities. And I think it's very much in keeping with his mantra about jobs. I mean, I think there's a public-private partnership here that brings private investment, that brings corporate sponsors, racing teams, spectators into San Francisco to create the business environment that Mr. Peskin just described. And I think it's a great economic stimulus. And I think Mayor Lee has seen that and has exhibited a lot of leadership on that.
Joe Eskenazi, what would you add to that? Is there how much concern is there? How involved is the mayor or should the mayor be in hammering out any changes to this agreement?
Well, I'm sure that Mayor Lee is going to work very hard on this, and you can think of a million reasons why it'd be great to bring the race here. And you can also think that regardless of how good or bad the deal is, it would be very easy for it to be portrayed as yet another San Francisco screw-up or San Francisco thinking it's too good for the America's Cup if anything were to happen and it weren't approved. You know, certainly it will be a big economic impact to bring the race here. That's unquestioned. The numbers that have been bandied about people are laughing about those numbers in City Hall when I talk to them about it.
What kind of people? Which people do you mean? Who's laughing?
I've talked to a number of folks. Supervisors.
But they voted for it.
Yes, but they did. They are now believing that it's not going to be 8,000 work equivalent jobs and $1.2 billion. Certainly, it will be a lot of money. But you know, as Mr. Buell said, you know, it remains to be seen how much of an impact. But to say this will bring $1.2 billion in business, this will bring 8,000 jobs. That's a big if.
Aaron Peskin.
This is a grand experiment, and, you know, more power to Larry Ellison for trying to imbue the American public with this sport that heretofore has really been a sport that has not garnered a lot of attention through television, through spectator viewing. This is the first time that this will be brought close to shore, and it's anybody's guess as to whether or not the piers will be lined with millions of people or it's going to end up on TV. This could go the way of High Life, if you remember that, and it may take 30 years before Americans, you know, get turned on to this as it did with soccer. So, I mean, there's just a lot of uncertainty, and to say it's going to bring 1.2 to 1.4 billion and 8,000 jobs is highly speculative. I mean, I hope we do half that well.
Mark Buell, we were talking earlier about the number of teams predicted. Now it's fewer than what Larry Ellison had said. And the number of spectator boats has also been scaled back. I think the number 4,000 spectator boats was originally bandied about. Now it's down to 1,000.
Right.
What's going on there?
Well, I think what's going on there is that in past America's Cups, their venues have been around the Mediterranean or Australia, New Zealand, and the large yachting community in Europe found that easier to attend. And I think being in San Francisco, they started to think about what would the attendance be, and the numbers were scaled back to try and reflect reality because we had to plan for them coming here. But I think Aaron's right. This is a grand experiment. But, you know, nothing ventured, nothing gained, and it is capturing enormous attention. And I think Larry Ellison is on to something with rebranding it with catamarans and making it fast and exciting. And I go back to his mantra. It's going to be the fastest boats, the latest technology, and the best sailors. And that's going to be pretty exciting.
Mike Martin, from your perspective, what happens next? What happens between now and when the Board of Supervisors votes on this to seal the deal or change it or reject it?
Well, I think there's a lot that happens between now and then. I mean, I think there was a number of questions that were raised at the last committee hearing about some of the things we've been talking about today, not only on the real estate side, but also on how much it's actually going to cost to put on the events. What are going to be the proposed benefits there? We're going to provide that information to the next committee hearing, which is this coming Wednesday. And our hope is we can answer those questions in a way that the board can move ahead, just as they have in past votes, and said this is something that's good for the city.
And Mark Buell, how much is still in play from your perspective?
In terms
of the agreement?
In terms of the deal? Well, I think that Pier 29 is an issue. I think that the condominium fee is an issue. Now, this is outside my pay grade. I'm here to raise money for the event.
And you're not getting paid for this.
And I'm not getting paid for this. That's right. But I'm enjoying myself, I'll tell you. And everybody we've asked for money has been forthcoming. So there's an enormous amount of enthusiasm in the community to make this happen and make it happen right. And I think this process improves the possibility of making it right.
Joe Eskenazi, what are you going to be looking for in the coming week or two?
It's going to be a big whirlwind event. I mean the development agreement is 126 pages long. It's beastly complex, and as all of the guests have mentioned, a lot of things are going to be talked about. If it turns out well, that's fantastic. It would be better than fantastic. Certainly the race will be magnificent. But, you know, the critics, if things turn out badly, no one can say that they weren't warned by these critics. A lot of the benefits at this point are not quite so tangible. Some of the detriments are very tangible.
Aaron Peskin, just a few seconds left. What's your advice to your former colleagues, the Board of Supervisors?
I saw them in action on the computer Wednesday this week, and I think they get all the issues, and I have every confidence that they will negotiate the right deal for the best interests of the people of San Francisco.
All right. Aaron Peskin, former president of the San Francisco Board of Supervisors, thanks very much to you. Thanks also to Mark Buell from the America's Cup Organizing Committee. Good to see you. And also Michael Martin. He's the project director for the mayor's office and the city's Economic and Workforce Development Office. Thanks also to Joe Eskenazi from SF Weekly, and earlier in the hour, David Chu, president of the San Francisco Board of Supervisors. Forum is produced by Kevin Guillory and Judy Campbell. Our senior editor is Dan Zoll. Our engineer is Danny Bringer, and our executive producer is Raul Ramirez. I'm Scott Schaefer, in for Dave Iverson. Thanks so much for listening.
Funds for the production of Forum are provided by the members of KQED Public Radio, the Germanicos Foundation, and the Generosity Foundation in honor of Louise and Claude Rosenberg, and by a generous gift from Jan Schrem and Maria Minetti Ferro, who believe that all people deserve access to education, information, and culture for a lifetime of exploration and learning.